Thursday, April 6th, 1944. Dearest Kitty, you asked me what my hobbies and interests are, and I'd like to answer, but I'd better warn you, I have lots of them, so don't be surprised. First of all, writing, but I don't really think of that as a hobby. Number two, genealogical charts. I'm looking in every newspaper, book, and document I can find for the family trees of the French, German, Spanish, English, Austrian, Russian, Norwegian, and Dutch royal families. I've made great progress with many of them, because for a long time I've been taking notes while reading biographies or history books. I even copy out many of the passages on history. So my third hobby is history, and Father's already bought me numerous books. I can hardly wait for the day when I'll be able to go to the public library and ferret out the information I need. Number four is Greek and Roman mythology. I have various books on this subject, too. I can name the nine muses and the seven loves of Zeus. I have the wives of Hercules, etc., down pat. My other hobbies are movie stars and family photographs. I'm crazy about reading and books. I adore the history of the arts, especially when it concerns writers, poets, and painters. Musicians may come later. I loathe algebra, geometry, and arithmetic. I enjoy all my other school subjects, but history is my favorite. Yours, Anne M. Frank. Tuesday, April 11th, 1944. My dearest Kitty, my head's in a whirl. I really don't know where to begin. Thursday, the last time I wrote you, everything was as usual. Friday afternoon, Good Friday, we played Monopoly. Saturday afternoon, too. The days passed very quickly. Around 2 o'clock on Saturday, heavy firing began. Machine guns, according to the men. For the rest, everything was quiet. Sunday afternoon, Peter came to see me at 4:30 at my invitation. At 5:15, we went to the front attic where we stayed until 6. There was a beautiful Mozart concert on the radio from 6 to 7:15. I especially enjoyed the Kleine Nacht music. I can hardly bear to listen in the kitchen, since beautiful music stirs me to the very depths of my soul. Sunday evening, Peter couldn't take his bath because the washtub was down in the office kitchen, filled with laundry. The two of us went to the front attic together, and in order to be able to sit comfortably, I took along the only cushion I could find in my room. We seated ourselves on a packing crate. Since both the crate and the cushion were very narrow, we were sitting quite close, leaning against two other crates. Mushi kept us company, so we weren't without a chaperone. Suddenly, at 9:15, Mr. Van Dan whistled and asked if we had Mr. Dussel's cushion. We jumped up and went downstairs with the cushion, the cat, and Mr. Van Dan. This cushion was the source of much misery. Dussel was angry because I'd taken the one he uses as a pillow, and he was afraid it might be covered with fleas. He had the entire house in an uproar because of this one cushion. In revenge, Peter and I stuck two hard brushes in his bed, but had to take them out again when Dussel unexpectedly decided to go sit in his room. We had a really good laugh at this little intermezzo. But our fun was short-lived. At 9:30, Peter knocked gently on the door and asked Father to come upstairs and help him with a difficult English sentence. "That sounds fishy," I said to Margot. "It's obviously a pretext. You can tell by the way the men are talking that there's been a break-in." I was right. The warehouse was being broken into at that very moment. Father, Mr. Van Dan, and Peter were downstairs in a flash. Margot, Mother, Mrs. Vandy, and I waited. Four frightened women need to talk, so that's what we did until we heard a bang downstairs. After that, all was quiet. The clock struck 9:45. The color had drained from our faces, but we remained calm, even though we were afraid. Where were the men? What was that bang? Were they fighting with the burglars? We were too scared to think. All we could do was wait. 10 o'clock, footsteps on the stairs. Father, pale and nervous, came inside, followed by Mr. Van Dan. "Lights out. Tiptoe upstairs. We're expecting the police." There wasn't time to be scared. The lights were switched off. I grabbed a jacket and we sat down upstairs. "What happened? Tell us quickly." There was no one to tell us. The men had gone back downstairs. The four of them didn't come back up until 10:10. Two of them kept watch at Peter's open window. The door to the landing was locked, the bookcase shut. We draped a sweater over our nightlight, and then they told us what had happened. Peter was on the landing when he heard two loud bangs. He went downstairs and saw that a large panel was missing from the left half of the warehouse door. He dashed upstairs, alerted the home guard, and the four of them went downstairs. When they entered the warehouse, the burglars were going about their business. Without thinking, Mr. Van Dan yelled, "Police!" Hurried footsteps outside. The burglars had fled. The board was put back in the door so the police wouldn't notice the gap, but then a swift kick from outside sent it flying to the floor. The men were amazed at the burglars' audacity. Both Peter and Mr. Van Dan felt a murderous rage come over them. Mr. Van Dan slammed an axe against the floor, and all was quiet again. Once more, the panel was replaced, and once more, the attempt was foiled. Outside, a man and a woman shone a glaring flashlight through the opening, lighting up the entire warehouse. "What the?" mumbled one of the men. But now the rules had been reversed. Instead of policemen, they were now burglars. All four of them raced upstairs. Dussel and Mr. Van Dan snatched up Dussel's books. Peter opened the doors and windows in the kitchen and private office, hurled the phone to the ground, and the four of them finally ended up behind the bookcase. End of part 1.